Well, God, morning to you. This is a week where the hope is, as the current server for the website is being canceled, and we are in the process of creating a new one. This will be the last, not the end, the last in a series recorded on our current website. And the hope is, what is coming might be more effective. So this is the last. A couple of weeks ago, I ran into a man in the museum, a very sincere man. We had, a wonderful conversation. And at the end of the conversation, he being a former Catholic, like myself, in name and practice, as he was leaving, asked me, what about that passage in the sixth chapter of John? Specifically, the 53rd through 56th verses. And it has caused me to go back and spend time not only in those particular verses, but the whole chapter. Even caused me to go back and listen to some teaching from 2011, where we taught through the book of the Gospel of John. And so this morning, I want to go back and I want to revisit this chapter. There's a few parts in this chapter. The first part would be called a faith chapter. And it opens with Jesus feeding the 5,000. But the sixth verse, context being, all these people were gathered, they had no food. Jesus said to one of his disciples, Philip, where can we buy bread? And Philip's answer says, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, would not be sufficient for them. Now, the word says, Jesus asked this question that he might prove him, for he knew what, not what Philip would do, but what Jesus would do. And God is always looking for the operation of that gift of faith . A measure of which he's given to every man But in the context of the whole scripture, there is knowledge and understanding that in this proving of Jesus or proving of God, there are the chosen as opposed to the whole world. As we go on in the chapter, Jesus sends his disciples before him. They go out in a boat. The sea gets rough because of the winds. Jesus comes walking on water, and it scared the hell out of the disciples. And he says to them, they're in a circumstance, I tell you without doubt, they're in a circumstance that was scary. And as he's coming to them, he says, be not afraid. Or he says, it is I. Be not afraid. And when they heard these words, the 21st verse says, then they willingly received him. Folks, very important to hear the word and receive it. Interesting thing there was, they were going from Tiberias to Capernaum, and it says that they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs when this incident happened. And after they heard his words and received him, immediately the ship was on the shore. Now, I want to tell you the distance between Tiberias and Capernaum is a hell of a lot longer than 25 or 30 furlongs, but it says, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. Then it talks about those who were on the hillside and fed by Jesus. And they went searching for him. And in the 21st verse it says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, that is, teacher, when camest thou hither? They had a question on their mind. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, the literal is, amen, amen, have no doubt in what I'm about to say. I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. talking. He's talking about the frame of reference was their life in the world and how their bellies were full. He says, in essence, you didn't understand the miracle. And the frame of reference is God is the one that works miracles. Their attention was on their life in this world, not on the next. Because Jesus goes on and says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And hear that word, which endureth. If it came immediately in all its manifestation, there's no enduring. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God sealed. And then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, King James, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? That we might work the works. The Greek says, ergazomai ergon, ergon. Work, but that we might work, ergazomai, middle voice, the works of God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the ergon works of Deus, that ye pisteo. We don't have an equivalent English translation for that because it's not believe. The word is faith. The word is action. This is the work of God, that ye might have action based on belief, sustained by confidence on him, that is, on Jesus, whom, that is, God, whom he, that is, God, has sent. Apesteo. It's where we get our word apostle. Sent. Sent from God. Jesus. was an apostle. He made apostles. Romans 1 says that speaking of the Romans 1:4 says, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace, unmerited favor, and apostleship. We also are sent. What are we sent for? For the obedience of faith, the hearing of faith. And we're going to hear more words this morning. Jesus cut through all the crap. They were hoping to hear that here's the work of God, that they observe all the holy days, that they set apart and observe the Sabbaths, that they make their 3 times a year trips according to the law to Jerusalem. They wanted to hear about their goodness and about their greatness and about their holiness, and somehow or other relate that to God. And Jesus said, here's the work of God, that ye faith on him, that is Jesus, whom God has sent. And they answered, you know, what sign do you show us then, that we may see and faith thee? What does thou work? And they want to start giving the testimony. Well, you know, there's no post-production in these messages. I'm sure you heard the phone ringing, and I'm sorry I answered it. I want to get back. And they said, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Peter says, blessed are your eyes which have not seen and yet faith. This 6th chapter is a faith chapter. You ought to write it in your Bibles. Now, these who sought Jesus out after they were fed, want to give him their testimony. Now look what Moses did. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Jesus wanted to place that testimony where it belonged. And he said, amen, amen, I say to you, unto you, Moses gave you not bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth, faitheth on me, shall never thirst. A couple weeks back, we said, we were teaching on some of the parables of Jesus. Now, Jesus is using another parable. Let me give you some context. He said that manna was not the bread of heaven. Third verse, listen to this. For the bread of God is he. Jesus is speaking in parable. Is he which cometh from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Wait a minute. Life? I have life, they would say. Life? Look, you just had 5,000 men, which meant probably somewhere between 10 and 12,000 people, gathered together, and you fed them. They ate. That eating is life? Traveling is life. We came and sought you out. What do you mean, life unto the world? Folks, in the context of Scripture, if we went to the second chapter of Ephesians, we would read, and you who were dead in your sins and trespasses, the Scripture teaches that from the moment Adam and Eve chose to put their confidence in the words of the devil and not in the words of God, though they kept moving and eating and procreating and all those other things that the world associates with life, they were dead in terms of the ability to relate to God. This is taught by God throughout the Old Testament in the types and the shadows of the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. And I'm not speaking to the world. I'm speaking to those whom God has called out of the world, who have understanding that life is much more than what we see. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this. Now, well, let's continue. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Obviously, he's speaking of a life other than flesh, because the flesh could not sustain life without eating and drinking. Are you getting this? But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe. Faith, pisteo, not. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This word cometh to me, it also is in the middle voice. For their own sake they cometh unto me, for their life's sake. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and faiths on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Will. And this is the Father's will, and this is the will of him that sent me. Telema. It involves the understanding God's will incorporates his pleasure. God is pleased when we are trusting when we are acting with confidence based on belief that Jesus is sent from God. And to those in that faithing state, it says he will raise up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." They're still in the flesh. Listen to what they say. "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" The carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritual. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Don't murmur amongst yourselves. And he makes this statement, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Do you understand that this relationship we are having with God in and through and by Jesus Christ starts with God? In fact, without God initiating the relationship, there is no relationship. This is called prevenient grace. God is the one who started this relationship that you and I are having with him in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh to me." Gnosko is the word. Learned. What are we doing? We are, by God's initiation, coming to learn, to know, to get a knowledge of, to perceive. It is a knowledge grounded in personal experience. And that, in the Word of God, and Jesus is quoting that in Isaiah 2, in Isaiah 54, in Jeremiah 31, in Micah 2. In Ephesians 4:21 and 22. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9. In Hebrews 8:10 and 11. And Hebrews 10:6. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. What pleases God? The scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, the opposite is faith pleases God. It says, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, that is, of the same essence of God, he has seen the Father. John 1 says, no man has seen God, but Christ has exegeted, that is, removed God from behind a curtain and put him on display. Amen, amen, I say unto you, he that faiths on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Listen to this. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, now look, he's really, really stirring the pot. He's doing it in parable, but he's stirring the pot. Then Jesus said unto them, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I live in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said Jesus in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? who can hear it? Who can? The word in the Greek is dynamai. Who has the power? Who has been enabled to hear this? This is a hard saying. In the history of the church, men purposed to make this not a hard saying. And they came up with a heathen doctrine called transubstantiation. That now they would, by their words and by their traditions, out of that which was born in pagan Babylon, make it no longer a hard saying, but make it something visible. And they say by their words, they take bread and wine, and after saying some words, the bread and wine change into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, now it is easy to see and eat and fulfill that which Christ is saying. But if we're going to put and change the meaning of what Christ has said here, we also have to include the result of the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood, which is that those who eat would not die. There's a requirement to take in context this word, and I have, and you have, and no one has the testimony by this doctrine of transubstantiation, which says we literally eat the flesh and drink the blood, that will not die, but no testimony of anyone living forever. Therefore, Jesus is speaking in parable. He's speaking in metaphor. And he is really stirring the pot. So much so that many of his disciples didn't walk with him anymore. As it will say, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, "Does this offend you?" He said, "I am the bread of life. What's the context? 63rd verse, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that is, that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. This new creation, which is in Christ Jesus, is spiritual and not flesh. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This Christian journey, this life of faith, this life which Jesus said he would raise at the last day, is not flesh and blood. It is something other. It is the new creation in Christ. It's a hard saying, but the promise of God is that when we continue to do the will, the pleasure of the Father, which is to faith, that is to put our trust, that is to act upon God's promises that we have in Christ, of which it is said, all the promises of God are yea and amen. That we do have everlasting life. And folks, it's not seen. This is the work of God, that your faithing in Christ, whom God has sent. If other good things follow, that is, things that are seen follow, praise God. But this is the work, that you're faithing on Jesus, whom God has sent. We're in such a better place when we are trusting God than putting our eyes on that which is seen in the world. We have, should have the understanding that the words of Christ to those who are in the world and have not His Spirit, His words are hard. But His word is life unto us. For we walk by faith, and not by sight. Sixty-sixth verse says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. These were those who followed that they might be filled with bread. Which by morning perished in the drought, in the drought, in the toilet. There was not life everlasting in that bread. But when Jesus speaks of that which is beyond sight, and gives all testimony and credit to God for our salvation, these who were following turned back and followed no more. But we who by God's grace and by His enablement, who are learning through His Word, by His Spirit, we are not of those who turn back, but continually turn to Jesus and have in Him the promise of everlasting life and of the good news of the gospel, even have His life put in us. Wherein Paul says in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live, I live not unto myself, but by the faith of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. All glory to God.